Okay, good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Are you ready to pray? All right, let's pray. Heavenly Father, we're so thankful, God, for your great love for us. Father, thank you for giving us time to spend together today. We thank you for the privilege that's ours to gather and worship and study your word together. And Father, we thank you for the privilege we have to pray, to boldly approach you and make our requests to you, God. And we thank you that you hear and you work things out for the good. You do, God, the things that we're not able. And we just want to continue, God, to lift our needs to you. And we want to give you praise for all the good that you've done. And Father, we thank you. We thank you for Brother Larry. Father, we're thankful for his faith, and we're thankful for his friendship. And we pray, God, that you'll bless his trip this winter. We pray you'll keep him safe as he travels. And we just pray, God, that you'll use him to glorify yourself, God, everywhere he goes. Father, we want to lift up a prayer for Bonnie. Father, we pray that you'll put your hand on her and heal her body. We pray you give her victory over this cold, this stuff that she's dealing with at this time. Lord, we pray you'll heal her. We thank you for the good news about Gary, that he's ready to move forward with his transplant. We pray, Father, that you'll bless that procedure. We pray, God, that his body will be cancer-free. We want to pray for Angie. Lord, we pray that you will work things out for the good for her at work. And we pray, God, you'll continue to give her boldness and wisdom to live for you there. And we pray you'll just keep that door open for her so that she can be a witness to those around her. We want to pray for Miss Rubeck. Father, we pray that you will bless her this week, this Christmas vacation, as she is going to be helping her family, helping those in need. We pray you give her strength that she needs, God, to be able to do it. And we want to pray for Yolanda. Father, we pray that you'll heal her body. We pray that there won't be any further problems with medications. We pray, Lord, that you heal her lungs. She'll be over the pneumonia. We pray, Father, that her diabetes will be under control. We just pray, God, that her health will be steady, God, and she'll be able to do the things that she needs to do and the things that she loves to do. And we thank you, Father, for her boys being there for her. I pray, Father, you bless Alex and Jordan. And Father, I pray that you would bless this time now as we read your word together. And I pray, Father, that you will teach us, help us to grow. Please give us wisdom. And all these things we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, let's go to the book of Proverbs. All right, Proverbs chapter 1, verse 8 and 9. My son, hear the instruction of your father, and do not forsake the law of your mother, for they will be a graceful ornament on your head and chains about your neck. So, as Kathy already mentioned, we've come a long ways. We talked about Solomon, the author of the book of Proverbs. We talked about him gaining, how he received his wisdom. We talked about his humble prayer when he was worshiping and God came and said to him, just ask me, what would you have? And he humbly asked for wisdom. We talked about what the purpose of Proverbs is in the next few verses, so that we might know wisdom, so that we could learn to be just, so that we could understand, have understanding, be able to figure things out, to be able to think, you know? It's a lost art, being able to think. In verse 7, we talked about the fear of the Lord. That was 2 weeks ago. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. To understand that God is in charge, and we're not. That God is able to destroy us. That God requires repentance and faith. It's the beginning of wisdom. And then as wisdom matures, as wisdom grows, our fear of the Lord even matures, you know, and we get to a place where we understand that our actions can grieve the Lord. And so we have a fear of the Lord that causes us to not want to hurt Him. Fools don't have any of these things. When a person doesn't have Christ, they don't have wisdom. They don't have wisdom. And you see it. You see it all around. And I'm not trying to say we're better than anybody, but I'm so thankful that God has delivered us from the brainwashing, you know, of the world. It really is insane the things that people think are true today. And we know it's only by the grace of God we've been set free from that. Lived a large chunk of my life as a fool. So glad that I... Not that I got it all down, but I'm so glad I was rescued from that mess. That was a mess.
I got to be by about 40 years.
It's not a competition.
I'm just saying, thank God I'm not where I was.
Yes, amen. That's exactly right. We understand we're not who we want to be yet. We have goals, but thank God we're not who we used to be.
Yes.
Sometimes I have these thoughts float through my mind about my past life, and I just shake my head. So after talking about the fear of the Lord, it's interesting to me that Solomon then brings up honoring your father and mother. See, when you properly fear the Lord, there's something that goes along with that, and you properly respect and honor the authorities that God has placed in your life. Number one being your parents. My son, hear the instruction of your father, and do not forsake the law of your mother. It really would be awesome if kids would come to that conclusion early in life. And I would have learned, if I would have just listened and learned some things a little bit sooner, could have avoided some trouble. So we move from the fear of the Lord to honoring your father and mother, and I think this is a natural progression, like I said. You fear the Lord, then you have a proper respect of the authority God placed in your life. You can make a note of this. When you don't have the fear of the Lord, you do not have respect for authority. When you see someone not respecting authority, you know they don't have a fear of the Lord. Those things go together. And usually when you see a video of a person disrespecting a God-given authority, you can see they're acting like a fool. This is a natural progression. It's interesting because the Ten Commandments flows this way too. You have the first four commandments are about God. And then number five is honor your father and mother. The same progression. And I think it's an important progression to remember because sometimes we can get things a little twisted. But God comes first and then family. Family. Church is an important part of our life, but family comes before that.
Works after all that.
Work is an important part of that.
Take care of the family.
Yep. Then church, and then other stuff. But your family, if you don't hold your family together, boy, you lose a lot. So, my son, hear the instruction of your father and do not forsake the law of your mother. So the command is to a son. And the book of Proverbs is a good book to read your kids. I think this would be a good habit to get into because the book is addressed to children. My son, my children. So I was looking at how many times, more than a dozen times, I think I counted 18. And so many sections start off, my son, my dear children, my son, my dear children. It's instructions from our father to his children. But in order for a child to hear instruction and to receive instruction, parents, you have to be giving instruction. Notice those two words. Instruction of your father, law of your mother. This implies that parents are doing these two things, giving these instructions. Children do not become godly on their own. They have to be trained. Now I know, God can reach a wayward child. God can reach a child who didn't have any parents to raise him. God can reach a child who had terrible parents or even abusive parents. God can do that. But God's recipe, God's will for doing this properly is that two godly people get married and they raise godly children. That's God's will for us. And you can't blame other people for what's going on with your kids. You can't put the blame on other people. There is nowhere in the Bible where anyone else is called to raise your children except for you, their parents. It's not the school's fault. It's not daycare's fault. It's not grandparents' fault. Parents, that's your job. And you can't teach them, okay, what's not in your heart first. So you, if you're going to instruct your children in the way that they should go, you have to be first be instructed. So you have to be training yourself to be godly. You have to be reading your Bible. You have to be practicing a prayer life. You have to be walking with the Lord. And then you'll be able to instruct your children to do the same. Turn to Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 4 through 9. It's one of the most famous Old Testament passages. The Jews, they would read this all the time. It's something that they memorized. Deuteronomy 6, 4. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. By the way, that strength means effort. It takes effort to love the Lord your God. Just like it takes effort to show love to anybody else, you got to put your strength into it. Verse 6, and these words which I command you today shall be in your heart. Okay, there's the first part. The word has to be in your heart first so that you can teach it to your children. It's one of the worst things you could do is to expect something out of your kids that you don't do yourself. Verse 6, these words which I command you today shall be in your heart. Then verse 7, you shall teach them diligently to your children, and shall talk of them when you sit in the house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, and when you rise up. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes. You shall write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates. And the word should be the guide to everything that you do. And you just, it's what you talk about. You talk about God. You talk about the Bible. As you're walking, as you're sitting, when you're going to bed, you're talking about the Bible. You're talking about the word. You're trying to learn. You're trying to apply it to each and every situation. You should have scripture around your house. I really think that when it says that, it means that. That it should just be in front of you all the time. It should be what you focus on, what you meditate on. And that's not to get on anybody's case, right? I just think we need a reminder. It gets difficult sometimes, especially times like this, huh, when it's busy at Christmas. But all I'm saying is you can't teach them what's not in your heart first. You can't make them do things you're not willing to do. That only makes things worse. Another example, back in the book of Proverbs, this is what I was saying, we can mark these off when we read these other ones. In Proverbs chapter 20, verses 6 and 7, I thought this was interesting to put these two together. I was looking specifically for verse 7, but then I read verse 6, and I thought, wow, this goes good with what I'm trying to say. Proverbs 20, verse 6 and 7. Verse 6 says, most men will proclaim each his own goodness, but who can find a faithful man? Everybody likes to tell you how good they are, but it's hard to see a good man, right? Verse 7, the righteous man walks in his integrity. His children are blessed after him. So putting these two together with what we're talking about, what we read in Deuteronomy, what's more important? The walk, not the talk. That's verse 6, says most men will proclaim his own goodness. Most men will tell you how great they are. But you have less men in who do verse 7 who actually walk in integrity. It's the walk that matters. Your children, they watch you. They don't listen so well. They do listen. But listen, they're watching you. Yeah. And they're catching by your actions how to walk, how to live a godly life. And what I'm trying to say is if your words don't match, you know, it causes a problem. Yep. If you are walking it and they recognize it, I think this is true. I think they will listen. I think they will listen. If they're hearing from you something you don't do, they learn to tune that out. They don't believe you. Does that make sense? Everybody with me?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Children are really smart, man. We don't give them as much credit, I think, as we should, but they can spot a hypocrite.
Yeah.
They can spot a fake. Have you ever caught yourself doing something that your parents did?
Mm-hmm. Or coming out of your mouth.
Yeah. Or saying something your parents said, and you're like, yep, you learn it. Let's do another one. Let's turn to Ephesians chapter 6. It's just interesting to me. I was just going through all these parenting verses, reminding myself. It's so hard. You know why? Because you leave the house, okay? Anybody can back me up on this. You leave the house early in the morning. You go and you give your best all day, right? Doing everything the best you can, treating everybody the best you can, trying to be patient, be gracious, be forgiving, all that. And then you come home later. Sometimes it's dark when you leave and it's dark when you get home and you're tired. And it's so easy to let your guard down at home and treat the people you love the most worse than you treated anybody all day. And it's easy to do because you know they love you. You know they'll be forgiving. They'll accept it, you know, but it's not okay. It's not okay. So we do have to be reminded of this. They need us the most.
They need it the most.
They need it the most, and we need to revive ourselves somehow when we get home. We're ready to give them our best. Yeah.
It's or tough. Start giving it away to the swine.
Stop giving away.
Some people, you have to discern. Some people were literally...
Robbing you?
Yeah. Yep. They take too much, and you got to watch out. I mean, yes, we're supposed to be the light, the salt and the light, but also we're to be aware of
people that drain you.
Yes.
We're not supposed
people
to
can drain you. Yep.
Cast our pearls to swine.
There are people that can drain you. You do got to be aware. It has to be boundaries. If Carolyn was here, Carolyn Beach, she'd say, you need boundaries.
Yeah.
Yep. Yes. Okay, Ephesians 6:1 through 4. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with you and you may live long on the earth. And you, fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath, but bring them up in the training and admonition of the Lord. Yeah.
So if you have a father that is not living righteous, the way God wants you to do, are you, I know you're not supposed to like disrespect, but do you get what I'm saying? Like, are you still supposed to
obey them?
Yeah.
Supposed to what?
Obey them, like.
Yes, unless he asks you to do something evil. But if he asks you to take out the garbage, yes. You know, if he asks you to do things that aren't evil or whatever, yes, you have to obey them.
Like you have to have a relationship with them?
Well, that's it. Okay, so we're older now and...
Isn't the relationship, though, between a child and a father and an adult child and a father, that's different, isn't it?
It is different, but you do still have to respect them. You have to forgive them.
Even if they're continuously doing the same thing?
Well, forgiveness between you and them doesn't really have anything to do with him, right? You need to forgive him. That doesn't mean you have to put yourself in a position to be hurt again. Remember when we talked about forgiveness in here, that's not the same thing. If somebody steals from me, I can forgive them, but not trust them. But I'm not holding it against them. They don't owe me anything. Mm-hmm. You know, I've forgiven them.
So you can hold boundaries.
You can have boundaries, yes. So that you protect yourself and your loved ones from the harm that could come. Yes, you absolutely have to do that. But you have to do that in a way that's loving and respectful. And I don't know, I think about a lot of stuff. I think about like you guys with the wedding, you know, and Kaylee with her dad. And I was proud of you for that. I don't think anybody got hurt. The dance floor was a little embarrassed. But I don't think anybody got hurt. But I was proud of you for that. And I know it was hard to do, but it was a beautiful thing. And it's the same way, you know, Jesus said to love your enemies. And it comes to a point like, okay, you find out that your dad, you know, who's never been good to you, you find out he has a need or he has a problem, okay? The option to say, you know what? I would never help that man. You know, I would never even open my checkbook to give him a cent. Or, you know, that option is not available to you. Mm-hmm. Recognizing a need or seeing a problem, that is the perfect opportunity for you to show love or to show respect without putting yourself in a position where you are setting yourself up for something.
We must aim for service. We must serve others.
Loving your enemy, it's hard.
You can do it without them knowing it was you, too.
You can do it, yeah. You don't have to brag about it. You don't have to make sure they know it was you. But I'm just saying the option to say, I would never, is not on the table. Because you forgive them, and you love them. And actually, from our position, we should look for opportunities to show love to our enemies. Because that's what matters most, right?
Yes.
That's what matters most. If you hate somebody, and you say, I would never... The Bible says hatred is like murder. Because what you're doing is, basically when you put yourself in that position, you're hoping that they die. You don't want them to be saved. You don't want them to know Christ. You're taking part in their death.
In their demise.
Yeah, yeah. And that's not an option for us. So we have to forgive. Between us and God, we have to forgive first. We have to get our heart right. And then, yes, you can have boundaries, but you have to have a door there so that you can reach out if the opportunity presents itself. But if you don't trust people, you know, and you have good reason, you don't have to, you know, let them take your kids for a weekend, you know, that kind of stuff. You don't have to do that. But you can't just shut them out either. That's not correct. And I know it's hard. You have to find a balance. You have to find a place where that works. And that's different with different people, but the only option not on the table is just writing them off forever. And, you know, that's a hard thing, too, when it comes to broken homes and the kids being torn. You know, you can't, just rips kids apart. And you can't be mean, you can't talk bad about them. I mean, you got to be honest, you got to be real, but to just rail on somebody and badmouth them, that doesn't help anyone. Yeah.
Just a quick question. So, like, if it was a friend that was draining you, you can cut contact with them, right? Because they're not blood. But you're saying, like, we can't cut off blood because they're blood?
I'm saying you can't just write off anybody. I'm not saying...
Even if they're draining you?
If they're draining you, you have to make changes.
But I don't always, like... But you still have to keep contact with them?
No, I'm not saying you have... I'm not saying you have to call them.
Okay.
Hey, just checking in. Like, no, I'm not... No. I'm not explaining this very well.
It's scripture she's talking about. When you have to get yourself away from people who are pulling you down. Like, you can't hang out with your old friends.
Right.
So you cut ties with some certain people.
Yeah.
I think that's what she's trying to figure out. I can cut ties with them or I can't. Where's the balance? Is it family? Is it friends?
Okay, we've talked... All right. So the way this works is when you, as a Christian, and you know you have to get out of a bad situation, okay, the way you have contact with them is you bring them your direction.
Yes.
You bring them your direction where you're safe, whatever. You don't go their direction.
Okay, that makes sense.
Because they pull you away.
Yes.
I've lost...
So whether it's friends or family... You don't have to be their friend or bestie or be all mushy and
yes,
loving.
Yes.
If you can invite them to church, if you can give them $20 for gas because they need it or whatever, it's fine. But your relationship doesn't have to be more than that. But you have to be willing to share God with them.
Okay, that makes sense. Yeah. Got it.
And
spend your time with somebody that lifts you up.
Yes, your closest.
They're dragging you down.
Yes, your closest friends. They got to be people who lift you up.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. All I'm trying to say is, friends or family, we don't ever just shut the door, so it's like, okay, that I'm done with them forever. That's all I'm saying. That doesn't happen. And it may be a while in between times you have contact with them. But if God presents an opportunity where you can show love in some way and you can keep yourself safe, that's, you should do it. You're not allowed to just say, well, no way, I'm not. I would never do that for them. You know, I hate them. You know, that's what we're trying to avoid. That's all I'm saying. Does that make sense? Yes, if they're draining you, you have to stop. You have to stop. But that doesn't mean you're done with them forever.
Love from a distance.
Love from a distance.
And pray.
And pray. Yes. Yes, definitely keep praying for them. And I don't know what are opportunities that you might, I don't know, you might see them in different places and you could say hi, you know, and just let it be that, you know, and move on. Or, you know, I see some people every now and then and it's like they say, well, you know, we should get together. And it's like, well, you know that's probably not going to happen. Right? But
it's true.
But we had contact, you know, and I was trying to be kind and show them that I care and I'm not shutting them out of my life, but I got to be careful.
Did you say that out loud or in your head?
All that in my head.
Okay.
Pastor Corey, I think one thing too I've noticed that's happening as we grow and learn about God is He'll help us discern what people will pose a risk to us. And I know it's not all about ourselves and to protect only us, but there's giving and then there's receiving. I mean, it's a two-way street, but what I'm finding is it's getting stronger on me to discern who's going to pose a risk, what will the risk be, is it worth it, and then God will show you another way.
Yeah. Well, like Larry said, is this something that is going to be helpful?
Right.
Is this something that's going to be a lift to me, mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. to them, or is this going to pull me down? And you have to discern that and stay away from the things that are going to pull you down. And if that means staying away from that person, because when you're around them, they pull you down, that's a very wise thing to do. Mm-hmm. And it does say in the Bible that there will be people who think it's strange that you don't run with them anymore, but you can't run with them anymore. I don't want to say those things without showing you. Well, I am sure that my dad, my biological father, is responsible for a lot of mess in my life, BC, before Christ. I mean, with him leaving when I was very little, and just the mess. And since then, when I saw him just a couple times, he made it worse. But I forgive him. And we talk. And right now, dealing with this skin cancer thing I had to get removed. I'm going every month for a treatment. I let them know I got my next treatment. You know, just something to talk that's safe to talk about, whatever, and he appreciates that. And that's a way that I make contact with him and am not selling myself out there for him to disappoint me again. You know, things like that. I don't know if that's a good example or not, but I haven't shut him out. Because the greatest thing that could happen would be that man gets saved. That would be incredible. When your parents get older and they need help, you should be there for them. If they get sick or they're getting old and they need care, you should be there for them. Now this, if you want to write this down, 1 Peter 4, this is just the thing I mentioned, you can write it down. It says 1 Peter 4:3, "For we have spent enough of our past lifetime in doing the will of the Gentiles, when we walked in lewdness, lusts, drunkenness, revelries, drinking parties, and abominable idolatries. In regard to these, they think it strange that you do not run with them in the same flood of dissipation, speaking evil of you." Speaking evil of you. Now, they're not so friendly anymore now that you're not running with them. But you can't. You can't run with them. You spend enough time. You wasted enough time doing that stuff. You can't do that anymore. Okay. In this Ephesians 6, I want to just mention one thing here. The reason we turn there. This provoking your children. "You fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath, but bring them up in the training and admonition of the Lord." Now, what does that mean to provoke them to wrath? The simplest way to put it is it means to discourage them. To discourage them. You discourage them when you're always criticizing them and never encouraging them. You provoke them when you say one thing and do another. We already talked about that. You provoke them when your discipline is unfair, if the punishment doesn't fit the crime. You provoke them when you promise things and you don't keep your word.
Yeah.
You provoke them if you don't show interest in the things they're interested in. You should care about the things they care about. When your little one comes to you and they have a problem, right? It may be something so small and silly, right? But to them, it's a big deal. And you want to show them that you care about what they care about so that they learn, they can come to you with those things. Don't brush it off. I know, it's hard. It's hard. And even playing with your kid, you have to get yourself out of adult mode for a minute. And you have to train yourself, you have to make yourself have a little imagination. You have to make yourself get down on the floor and crawl around and hurt your knees. And it takes effort to do that, but they need to know. They need to know that you don't mind playing with them. They need to know that you care about what they care about, that you're interested in what they're interested in. If they come to you and they get the cold shoulder, you provoke them. You discourage them. And a lot of people, they do that, and then they wonder why their kids don't want to talk to them. But your kid is going to find somebody to talk to. And you want to train them that it should be you, that they can trust you to come to you. Okay. Oh, part of not provoking them is being honest when we're wrong. If you mess up, just fess up and explain it and talk about it. Because we do mess up, and they need to know that you can get through that. It's not the end of the world. You can train them to forgive, just like you forgive them. Hey, I messed up. Do you forgive me? You can teach them to say you're sorry. Teach them to say they're sorry. Discipline. Well, if they hurt somebody, they should say they're sorry. Right? If they break something, they should say they're sorry. And if you ask them to say they're sorry, and they don't, they're refusing, then there should be consequences. I'm not saying you got to slap them first try, but there should be consequences, and they have to learn. They have to learn. But you lead by example. You admit when you're wrong, and you say you're sorry. And if they hurt you, you forgive. I forgive you. Things like that. You're training.
Yeah. I've got a little testimony on that. A long time ago, Chris had shared with me some stuff on her heart, and she told me to what you just said out of the Bible, to tell your kids you're sorry for everything you know, whatever it was. Well, when the kids were younger, all three of them, I remember I called this family meeting, and it was a big deal because we never do that, and I thought it out great about it, and told them I was sorry for lots of things, and I told them the truth about it. Everything I was sorry for with a broken heart. We were all crying, but it was like a healing cry. And their little eyes were this big. And I tell you, from that day forward, I got a lot more I'm sorry's for my kids. Not that they were going to be perfect. They still messed up, but they were able to realize they were wrong and they apologized for stuff. Troy did a lot of that. Mom, I'm so sorry. I talked bad to you, you know, yesterday. And Warren's all the time, I'm sorry, Mom. I'm sorry, God. You know, and Paige was still working, but she gets to the point of I'm sorry a little bit later than the boys always did. But what you're saying is true. I think that if we teach it, even if it's in humility, and you've got to tell them you're sorry, I got a lot more I'm sorry's back.
Yeah, it's hard, but you got to admit when you're wrong. This is part of the training. It's part of the training. And you're teaching them, what you're really teaching them is how to have a right relationship with their Heavenly Father. And they learn that they can confess.
Yeah.
And that God forgives. Mm-hmm. And that God is gracious. And it's not all over. Get up and keep going. You know, you train them. That's what this relationship is for. Okay. Good talk. Let's see. How shall we end? Okay, when you discipline... We'll read one last thing here, but let me tell you this. If you say you're going to discipline them, you have got to do it. You've got to do it. If you do this, this is going to happen. Do it. Yep, do it. Otherwise, you're going to train them to have no respect for authority. I always think of this example because God told Moses, when Moses disobeyed God at the rock, he was supposed to speak to the rock. He hit the rock. And God said, because you did this, you're not going to go into the promised land. You'll get to look at it, but you're not going in. Well, there came a time where Moses begged God for a final chance to get into the promised land. He did. You can, if you want to read it later, you can do it. It's in Deuteronomy chapter 3, 23 through 26. And he's doing all the fluffy stuff. Moses is like, God, you are so great. You've been so good to your people. You're gracious. You're forgiving. All this. Please, 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 please. Please, please, please let me go and see this good land that you're giving us. And God's work response to him is incredible. He says, enough. Speak to me no more about this matter. And Moses went up on the mountain and looked into the promised land and he died. God kept his word. He disciplined Moses and he kept his word. So huge. Yeah.
There's a verse that we usually use for someone thinking about getting married. What fellowship has light with darkness? But earlier, what different people were saying about my friend, about my dad. Our fellowship should not be, our close fellowship should not be with someone.
Yes.
You're the light, they're the darkness.
Yes, yes, yes.
Love them, but your good friends need to be your good Christian friends.
I think I got a proverb for you. Hold on. Okay. Proverbs 12:26. The righteous should choose his friends carefully.
Amen.
For the way of the wicked leads them astray.
Yes. That's what we were talking about.
Yeah. Yeah. The wicked people that used to be your friends and you can't, they drain you and they can't. Those are your mission field. They're in a different position than your close friends. Your close friends, you choose carefully. They should be righteous who
Amen.
Encourage your faith.
Yes.
But the wicked lead you astray, so they have to be
at a different level.
They're in a different spot. Yes. They're the mission field. Yep. Cool. All right? Ready to pray? Father, thank you so much. What a privilege we have to have the Word of God on these issues. We don't have to grope in the darkness when it comes to being a parent or even being a child. We have your word on these things, and I know that your word, God, it's truth. And I know if we're obedient to it, we'll see a blessing. And especially, God, we'll see a blessing in our family. So please, Lord, forgive us where we have failed you in these things, and please help us to make it a priority to give our families our best, to give us strength, God, to train our children in the way they should go, doing all that's required. Leading by example, disciplining when necessary, so that our children will learn, God, to love you. That's what matters most, that our children will be with us in heaven. Father, please continue to bless this day. I pray you use this service about to start. Please use it for your glory, and please bless the communion service tonight. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Awesome. Thank you, guys.